I want to tell you about something I've used and I truly believe in. Replayer. It's a sideline camera built for youth sports. Just set it up, hit record, and it captures the entire game automatically. No chasing the ball, no holding your phone, just hands-free, stress-free recording. The in-game tagging is one of my favorite features. One tap, and you can mark a big goal, ankle-breaking moves, or a clutch tackle. Then pull those clips for later for review, highlights, or social media. And the live streaming's next level. A buddy of mine actually watched his son's game while flying cross country at 30,000 feet. That blew me away. If you're a parent or coach at the field every weekend, Replayer is a game changer. Head to replayer.com. That's Replayer.com. And I think you'll be amazed. Hey, soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of Team Player's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give Team Player a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order.
One of the things that I've done is we'll send out cameras, like rental cameras, and when we get them back, sometimes what I would do is I would take them out to my kids were reffing at like the rec fields. So I dropped them off at the rec field, and then I brought along, I don't know, three or four of the rental cameras, and I just set them up on the field and just ran them just to test them to make sure that everything was working. And I ended up capturing one of our neighbors was there with their daughter, and I was recording, and she scored her first goal like ever. And they didn't know that I was there, but I saw them there, and then I heard them cheering. And so, like, when I went home, I uploaded the clip, and then I downloaded it, and I texted our neighbor. I was like, hey, I thought you might like this. And it was a video of her goal. And he was like, what? He's like, where did this come from? How did you get this? And it was just totally coincidence. But to your point, it was awesome to have a video of her very first goal, because parents know, like, when you're watching and you're excited, even if you're trying to video with your phone, you do a bad job of it. Because that's how I started. It was like I would be recording, and then you see them dribbling, and then right before they score, like you're pointing at the sky or the ground, because you're watching and you're not like recording. So you hear everyone cheer, but you don't actually get it.
Yes.
And having the ability to record so you can watch is, and that's one of the feedback that I get from people who first start using it. The first time they use one of the automated systems, they're just like, it was so nice. I just sat there and I just watched the game. I didn't have to watch it through a monitor. I didn't have to worry about panning or zooming or actually got to sit there and cheer and enjoy it. And yeah, it does make a big difference to be able to have that, because it makes the viewing experience more pleasant. Because I remember watching and wondering, okay, should I record? Should I record? Should I stop? When should I record? Should I stop recording? And then you stop recording, and of course, that's when you missed a play. And so you're like, well, I never want to stop recording. And it just makes it, it takes the kind of, it lets you be a present in as a parent versus as a videographer. So I agree.
I get told I'm the worst video cam person ever because I'll either stop it just before the incident happens, or
Right.
I'm still holding it back at the other goal and the play's at the other end because I'm actually watching it and not through my phone. And I think back, like in high school, that's what I did. I would sit through the little, I would have a little camera and I'd sit there at the basketball games and record the game back and forth. And it's as we got advanced in our school, they talked about I wanted to set up four cameras in the gym, one behind, because we had four spots that were they set up to the studio they built, and one was on one side of the court, one was on the other side of the court, and two were behind the baskets, the hoops. I'm like, how great would it be to be able to get all four angles and record it, and when something happens the camera's not bouncing up and down because I'm celebrating because the team scored or whatever the case may be. And but I had you had to watch through that little screen. If you don't watch that little screen, you won't record well. And that's the thing I learned. Some people are just naturally gifted, just to move their hand with their body, but with their head motion. But I'm not one of those people. I see what you're saying. So, as you're going through this process, as you move through the age groups, when you're starting to get wanting to get those highlight clips and starting to, for players getting ready for college or college recruiting. You can't, I'm assuming the lower end systems that you've talked about, the not the total systems, would you advise against them or advise more for them because it's more of those individual moments at a closer up viewpoint? Or do you think I won't say VO, but I just did, the total systems that are above the field are better for that because it gives the whole dynamic of the game?
It kind of depends. So one of the things that coaches are going to want to see is they're going to want to see, depending on where they are in the process, it's nice to see a tactical view of what is the player doing off the ball. So it's not just the player. They want to see, are they making the run? Are they checking their shoulder? Are they, a lot of things they might want to see, not just the play, but what happens right before the play, right? Or you know, probably not what after. But so the nice thing about the elevated systems that record everything is that it does capture those moments. And so like you can, and the cool thing about those ones, which is you don't get with a lot of the, like for VO, for example, they have the, I forget what the name of it is, but it's like interactive mode where you can basically pause the game and then you can drag the view and look back and see what's happening on the other side of the field that moment in time. Probably they all probably do that, but so that can be helpful if you're trying to capture certain aspect, like if you're like, especially like if you're a certain kind of player and you're wanting to capture certain things to put in your highlight reel, right? Because each position you want to highlight different things that you're good at, right? If you're a striker, then scoring goals is obviously what you want to highlight, right? But if you're somewhere else on the field, there's a lot of other things that you do that may not be like a goal clip or whatever. And so it is nice
Right.
to be able to have that, the ability to go and find those moments in the game and capture those. Now, that being said, that does take time. And so if you're a parent who doesn't know anything about soccer and you don't care to know, but you have a good player, then, you know, like I know, I think, I don't know if Buford Mobley, he has a soccer parent lifestyle,
I
but
interviewed him for
his
the
son,
podcast. Yeah.
okay, yeah. So his son is a really good soccer player, and they used the Solo Shot for a while. I think his club team ended up using maybe Trace or something, but I know for, I think for high school, I think that he would share clips from, hey, here's a clip of high school. I'm pretty sure they were using the Solo Shot. And yeah, I don't think there is no like right answer because it really just depends on like your budget and how much time you have to spend on it and how much you know about the game. And because let's say, for example, like what we've done is we've worked with a person who is an expert at college soccer. And so like we work with him. So we capture the video with the VO, And then we give it to him, and then he goes through and he finds all the stuff and he puts together the highlight videos for us, for my son. And so if you have someone that you're working with like that, then it's a different scenario versus if you're not using something like that and you just need some highlight footage of your kid, then you can say, "Where the solo shot, and we're going to take the clips of you, we're going to put them into iMovie, we're going to make a highlight video, and we're going to send that off," right? That works too. It just depends on like how you're going to... The reason we're using this guy isn't just for the video. It's really for everything other than video. It's just that's just one of the things that he can do because he's good at that. But he knows a lot of the whole process, and there's a whole other side to it. But I guess my point is, it depends on how you're going to use it and how comfortable you are with it. Like, who's going to use the footage? Is it a coach? Is it like a person who's good at making highlight videos? Is it just like a parent who doesn't know anything about soccer or videos, but just wants easy clips? And so, no, I think that whatever. And the thing is too, is you can always start with one. And if it doesn't work out, you can always, and that's why we have a place where people can sell their used equipment. Because part of the stress of it is I'm putting all this money into the system. Do them have a 30-day or something like that money back? Let's say you use it for a season, then you're like, this isn't right. That's why I set it up. I was like, if you spend all this money on the system and you don't want to use it, there's no play it against sports
right
for that. So basically, they can come to our site, they can list it, and then basically they find another team who wants it. And so, and I guess one of the things that I meant to say earlier is, one of the things you'll notice when you go research these is that you're going to find negatives about all of them. Like if you go, because there's Facebook groups for every kind of camera, right? And there's, when you go in there, you're going to find a lot of, you're going to find people that are like, I hate this system, it sucks, about every single one of them. And what's different for me is that I have a broader perspective because I've used them all, or not all, but a lot of them. And I've talked to lots of different people that have used them. And what usually when you see someone who's like really upset, it's because they had a specific situation that didn't work out, right? And or a lot of times you go and do it and you expect it to work a certain way, and maybe it didn't work that way, or maybe they had a bad defective unit or whatever. And so there's always going to be some people, and usually the people that are unhappy are the loudest, right? Like the people that are not happy are going to yell the most. And so you're going to, when you go research them, you're going to find people that say, don't get the system, is terrible. But for everyone that says that, there's a whole bunch of other people that are using it that are not complaining about it. They're just using it happily. They're recording it. I think it's easy to find people that say they're going to be detractors of any of the systems. So in terms of which one to use, I would say like in terms of, and that's actually one of the things I'm working on is a checklist of those. When I keep saying it depends, I'm working on like almost like a checklist. You need to do this and do that. And then after you answer all the questions, then we'll say that you should probably use one of these ones. And then at that point, it's a matter of figuring out who's going to own it. Is it the parent? Is it the team? Is it the club? And are we going to use it for multiple sports and that kind of stuff? And then at the end, if you use it for a season, it doesn't work out. You can always, unless it's broken, as long as it works, right, you can sell it to somebody else. Like any of these systems that you use, I shouldn't say any of them. Some of them are leased, like Trace is a lease. Like when you buy it, you don't own it. You're leasing it. Trying to think if other ones are like that too. Most of the other ones I think you own, but if you don't like it, if it doesn't work, then you can just sell somebody else.
And I think that's the other thing people don't realize, that it is more than just you buy it and it gets stored in a closet. There's a resale value for all this stuff, especially people just starting off. I know that when you go and look on these websites and people want to sell their VO1s, the new VOs are $800 for the VO2 currently. And the next, if you go buy a used one, a VO1, you might be able to score it for $200. And you just have to go buy your tripod and that's it. And you don't get the analytics, but you get the video. And if you don't mind going digging through it, you get it all.
Yeah. I was in Florida. A guy messaged me and he listed a camera and it already sold. I think he listed it on... We just in a few days it sold it. It depends too on the like seasonality, like anything else. People are usually looking, like right now you're starting to come towards the spring, so they're going to sell faster, right? Like people need it. If you list something for sale on Christmas Day, probably there's not a lot of people that are looking to buy a used camera right then. There might be, but like just in general, it is seasonal. So like you usually, if you're going to list it, you do at the start of, but the thing is they're multi-sport now. So you start catching, like lacrosse has a bunch of stuff in the summer. So some people you might think, oh, in the summer, no one's really buying. But if you're buying it for lacrosse, it might be a lot of people. Or so there is actually less seasonality than there used to be, because it used to be mostly for soccer. But now, and then they don't all work for all sports, but like, I know VO works for lots of sports. And I think a lot of the camera systems are trying to expand into multiple sports. And seasonality does make a difference. And also versioning makes a difference. So for example, if you have a used camera and you're thinking about selling it, you shouldn't wait, because like you mentioned, if you have a VO2, that might be the latest and greatest, but like when they come out with a new version, then it's like a version behind. And so over time, they probably lose a little bit of their value. But on the other hand, like high school teams love the VO1 because they don't need it for, they're like, we just want to record soccer for 2.5 months, right? So they're like, I'll buy a used VO1, and then because you can add a plan. And they're like, we'll just do a monthly plan for 2 or 3 months, and then that's all we need. So they can get into it at a lower price point than buying. They don't need to buy a brand new one with a whole annual plan and everything like that. So the used equipment is definitely something to look at. You can't do that for all of them, like the Trace. You can't do that one for, since it's a lease, but a lot of the other ones you can. And you want to be careful. Like we always say, what we typically have people do is you send some of the money, they send you the camera, make sure it works, and then you send the rest of it. So you have to just make sure. But then again, locally is a good way to do it. Like you said, in Dallas, I'm sure there's tons of cameras in Dallas. So if you could do a local one, it's even better, because then you can be there, exchange the money and the camera and everything, turn it on, make sure it works. But yeah.
It's fascinating. This whole area of the game is revolutionizing also. If you look at it from as a parent looking at the future for my kid, they are being able to get live feedback quickly and game review. I sat through a practice recently, and it's a 2013 boys team last summer. I shouldn't say recently, last summer. And my son was checking them out as a team. And sure enough, they had a VO and they're doing game review. And what do? They do a game review and pizza and what are they called? Sports drinks. I didn't want to say
Yeah,
soda because it wasn't
like
soda.
Gatorade
It was
or
Gatorades and
yeah.
whatever, juices and water. And they had game review. They went out and did 45 minutes of conditioning. Then they came in and watched game film for another 45 minutes. He broke it down into three parts of the game that he wanted them to see of their match, and only six clips he brought, and that was it. He didn't bring a ton of clips. He didn't bring a lot of the game video from the system that they had, and the coach just went through those clips, and he spent 15 minutes on each one, and that was it. And they were done, and they were released. And I feel like my son, who didn't even play on that team, understood what he was asking because he's sat through game review before it. And he's only 9. We used to review all of his indoor games. As a parent, I think having that access to game film, then having the coach being able to have access to it, is even more powerful, because in today's society, you can just have a Zoom call and they can go through a match and talk about what they saw. Everyone was doing well and doing great and moving on and get strengthening these players. So now moving slightly away from it all. If you were going to tell a family, we talked about the recruiting and highlight films for college, and everyone loves those zoomed in shots, but you made a point to talk about what are the players doing in different aspects. I didn't even think about that. Even though this camera might be focused over here on the goal, what a player is doing, let's say a center back is doing in their moment, being a center back, giving communication, giving feedback. You can't catch that if it's following the ball, but if you're able to, like you said, drag it back to that moment to the other lens, that's unbelievable to have that access, because now you're showing possibly the leadership of that player when they're playing a defensive role, and you can't always get that. I think that's great that their system allows that. What else is there?
Yeah, a lot of it comes down to, at that point, it comes down to how much time the coach has. So, because the footage is all there and the tools are there to create clips and they assign them to players and leave comments. And a lot of it depends on how much time the coach has to do the sit down and look at it. And actually, what I think is a pretty cool approach that a lot of team coaches do, or I shouldn't say a lot, some do, is they'll give the players homework and they'll say, okay, the game is out there. Now your homework is to go and watch the game and find three examples of when you did something, like whatever they're wanting to work on. Find three examples where you checked your shoulder, or three examples where find three clips where you turned with the ball, or whatever it is. Or maybe it could be like find three examples of where you didn't do this or something. And so what that does is it gets the players looking at the footage and looking for specific things. And then, so it's not incumbent on the coach to go through and watch each player for the whole game. It's because the coach usually uses it's helpful for like specific moments in the game. If, hey, we need to work on whatever it is, building out of the back, or we need to work on after we lose the ball, like recovering on defense or whatever it is. There's usually some moment in the game the coach wants to focus on. So the coach can find those clips and then show them. So what they can do is they can find them and they can actually send them out like ahead of time and say, hey, please watch these clips. And then everyone watches them, or some people do and some people don't. And then at practice, even then they can pull it up and be like, hey guys, we're going to watch this clip real fast. And they can visualize it. And then that's when you, then you, before you start your session, then you could be like, okay, we're going to work on this, whatever it was. Like, you see how we did it. Ideally, you'd have an example of where they did it well and then poorly. And then you could say, we're going to work on this specific scenario. And that's when you do your training session. And so they have a visual of what it is they're trying to get better at. But then from a player perspective, if you assign them homework, that makes forces them to watch it. And that way you can reinforce if you're a coach and you're saying, I want you to get better at this, or to start doing this or stop doing this. Then the player is watching themselves and looking for times when they do or don't do that thing. So that is like a learning tool. But again, it all comes back to time, right? The coach has to take the time to assign the homework, and the players have to do the homework. And then so it's all part of it has to do with, and that's why I say it depends on how you're going to use it. Because if you don't have a coach who's going to do all those things, you may not need, because some of the systems like do a great job of that. Like Theo does a great job of as a learning tool. But if you're not going to do any of that, maybe you don't want to need to pay for it, because if you're just going to record it and not going to use it as a coaching tool, that's not as important. So it depends on how you're going to use it. But it is, yeah, it's from an opportunity, from a learning perspective. And it doesn't have to be the coach. You could do that. I've done that with my kids, where you go back and we watch the game, and like I've watched it and I've created little clips of things that they could have done better, and then I'll show them the clips. So it doesn't have to be at a team level. Your parent could do it. But the challenge is the parent has to know soccer in order to do that, right?
And
You have
I
to
think,
know what to look for and to what to point out. And if you don't, then it would be coach, yeah.
that's the thing. It comes back to the individual understanding. Like you said in the very beginning, it was what is your want and your need for the system versus I don't think every parent has a great, fully understanding of the game. Or I'll use my son for an example. It is his coach says, I want you to do this. In his mind, it's not right because it goes against the grain of what he's thinking. And we told him, you have to have that conversation with your coach saying, this is my train of thought and this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. What's the difference between the two? So you have to teach the players to have that. But if they have video of it, of what you said, it's like you have an example where they did really well, an example where they didn't do well. You will have that to give them it as an example, which I think is huge in the game. And I think video is going to ultimately change how we train players. We see all these systems that use video, but I think there's nothing better than game data with it all. With these systems, some of them offer analytic programming with it. Now, it's an add-on feature normally. I did my little deep dive a couple of weeks ago on this, and or every so often I do a deep dive in it because it's an interesting topic, because what they provide for analytics. And it's I've seen systems where they break up corner shots, throw-ins, goals, and it's all done through AI. And it's remarkably impressive. Only a few times I've seen a hiccup and that's it. With that being said, do you think those programs are added value, or do you think it is more of just trying to save coaches and families time going through film review and whatnot?
Again, goes back to how you're going to use it. It doesn't do you any good to have all the analytics. If there's no one on the back end who's going to take it and use it, there's no point to have it. But if you are going to use it, then I think it's really valuable, because the coach's job is to help the players get better. And so if they have to go through and manually track all that analytics in order to even show it and teach it, then having it done automatically saves them time. So they get to focus on what they're good at, which is, you know, coaching the players on how to improve. But they already have, if they have, you have the analytics, and you can look at the, like, the trends and the tendencies, and then they can get to their, what they're good at a lot faster. Some places, some teams have like a person that does that. They're usually higher level, but they have a person that's like a sports video person that they'll go through and they'll tag it and they'll do all that stuff. So if you have that, then that's great. But a lot of most people don't have that. And so if you can have the software do it for you, and if you could, if it, you can pull up analytics that makes your job as a coach, and it helps you be a better coach, because then you have that data at your fingertips. And so then you can help the player learn faster. And so part of it, because there's two parts of it, there's a player development and there's a team development, right? So part of it is like how helping the players get better. But then if you're a higher level team and you want to do, like, the coach may be, okay, as a team, we're not pressuring as a unit, or there may be things that they're doing tactically, they're not doing well. Maybe we're really good at possessing in the midfield, but when we get into the attacking third, we're just not finishing our chances, or whatever it is. So the coach can, like, hone in on that faster, right, with analytics. Or maybe the coach realizes probably that, okay, our challenge is in the attacking third, but maybe the analytics will help them drill down a little bit closer, like maybe specific parts of the game that might be. Because the cool thing about the analytics is that that data is all there. So what they're started doing is that you can start seeing history of, and then another thing that, like, I don't know if they all do this, but I know VO has started letting you assign what kind of recording it is. Is this a tournament game? Is this a season game? Is this a cup game? Is this a friendly? Is this right. a scrimmage? And then it will track the stats across the different kinds. So you can go back and look and be like, in league games, which as a high level coach, those are like your, right, that's what is the most important, probably, like, how are we finishing the league? And then you can look at your stats, and you can look at your possession, and you can look at, so you can look at some of those trends over time, and you can have all that at your fingertips. And if you're like a youth, if you're like a U9 team, it's not as important. But if you're a high level team, because some of those games, the teams are really equally matched, and it's just a matter of who makes the mistake. It's a 1-0 game, right? So the coach would love any advantage that they could have in terms of, like, tactically preparing and carrying their teams. And yeah, I think that if you're going to use it, it's definitely a really valuable tool. But it really just depends on how you're going to use the data.
I think if you're doing I'm assuming if you're paying X amount of dollars, it's going to be hundreds of dollars a year. So you're going to probably use the data. Most people don't have, or clubs weren't willing to throw money down the drain because they have to be held accountable for everything they spend money on. Now, if you're looking at it from an individual player, some of these programs that are out there, if you pull up any of them, a lot of them have a family plan and a club plan. And I know my introduction to Trace was through a club, and the coach was really pushing it because it only comes out to be $100 a year for the whole team, per player for the team. And they all wear a little device that, I don't know if it's like a GPS unit.
They have something called Player Focus now, which means that you don't have to wear the tags anymore. Mm. And so it still tracks the players, but without the devices. That's a relatively new development. Yeah.
I think these players, especially at a younger age, 7v7, normally U14, where subbing is pretty much unlimited, and they just sub the whole, or U13, I don't remember the age, where subbing is unlimited and they just sub. I think it would be hard for, I don't know much about these systems. This is me being ignorant now. How do they trace the players then? Is it based on position? Jersey number.
Yeah.
That's impressive. They can see the jersey number.
It's a work in progress. The way it works is, like, when you log into the system, it records the whole game. But when you pull up the list of players and you select your player by jersey number, it will, in the sidebar, it'll pull up and say, here's the plays that this player was involved in, right? And you can click on it and it will jump to that point of the game. Now, sometimes they're on the far side of the field. It doesn't include them. Like, so it still records the whole game, but it doesn't capture specific clips of that player. Like if they're far away, because, or it depends, because the camera has to be able to, or I don't know how it works, but on the far side of the field, there's definitely times where it doesn't know who the player is. So it still records the game, but you don't necessarily get the individual player clip for the whole game,
Just
depending
like,
on, yeah.
I think all the systems have their pros and cons. It doesn't matter, but it goes back to what you said. If you just want a inexpensive system to go out there and record, you have the solo shot or that uses the SD card. I like SD cards because you can just pop them into your computer if you have an SD reader and you're
Yeah.
good to go. But a lot of newer machines don't, computers don't have SD card slots in them
Yeah.
anymore. What advice would you give parents other than figuring out their checklist of what they want, but through this process of figuring out what they do want, once they have their pr the list of what they want, is there a place that they can go, or do you have on anywhere they can go and see all the systems that are on the market? Or you can sit here and spend all day Googling and you might get 100 different answers depending on what you pull up. You might get
Yeah,
something
right.
that's not even on the market here in the United States, but might be in the market in the UK or in rest of Europe, but not here in the States for whatever reason, or South America only, or wherever it may be. Is there a list that there's a good place to find information to start off from to find a system so they can start doing their research?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's one of the things I'm working on is because that is one of the challenges right now, the kind of the process is. Like you said, you Google, you read, and then you call the company and you talk to them because there's no, you can't go to the store, you can't go to Best Buy or whatever. And then you have to call each company individually and talk to them about their company. So that's what actually what I've been working on is compiling all that into one place to where it like it lists the options and like the pros and the cons. And honestly, the challenge for me has been have all the data. It's just been how do I put it together in a easily consumable, right? Like fashion. And so that's what I've been working on that. And because I don't want to overwhelm people with information, because the whole point of it is you want to be able to get in and drill down pretty quickly. And yeah, that's what I've been working on over the last years because I have so many conversations with people. It's a place where you can come and you can see a list of them and read about what they do well, like what they don't do as well. And then ideally, what I'm working on is I'm setting it up to where if you want to try one out, like we can maybe send you one. And that's going to be hard to scale because I don't have unlimited numbers of them. But and that so that part of it is still farther in the distance. But the first step is just here's a list of them. Here's what they do well. Here's what they don't do as well. Yeah. So I'm working on that right now. I guess one general piece of advice in terms of the systems is what I found. It depends on the situation, but like if you're a parent and you're interested in it, it's really hard to get consensus with the team. So what we've have found to be a decent way to do it is the parent goes in and purchases the equipment, and then they ask the team to pay for the plan. That way, the parent owns the equipment, and so that way, let's say you bought one, and then your son was looking at another team. So when you switch teams. If the whole team pays for the camera and the plan, then who owns the camera is the question, right? And I've had that, like some of the people that have have resold on our site, like we had to get that sorted out because the guy that had it wasn't the guy that was like registered to, and he was trying to sell it. I was like, you can't sell it because you actually have to be the actual, because the way that the process works is once you sell one of these, the company then contacts the previous owner and is like, hey, are you transferring ownership to the person? And you have to say yes. That way you can't, someone can't just steal your camera off the sideline and sell it. So you have to approve the transfer. And so in this case, the guy was trying to sell it and he wasn't the official owner. And it wasn't a stolen thing. He had just had to sort it out with everything. We finally got it all figured out. But the point is that it's easier if you own the camera yourself. So if you go, you could tell the team, look, I'm going to buy the camera. Because it also, it helps make it easier for everyone because you're taking on some of that, right? If you decided you want to do it, you're like, look, we're going to do this. And this is, I'm buying the camera. And all you guys need to do is chip in for the 12-month plan, and this is what it's per player. So it helps, it makes it like less burden on the families. And that way you are in control of the camera. So that's one thing that I've found. And no, it doesn't work that way for the Trace because, like I said, it's a lease because at the end of the year you send it back. So it's a little bit different. Like their model is a little bit different with the player focus now, where one parent like pays up front and then you can add additional, like each other family that comes on then just pays an amount and then joins the team. But still that parent, that the first person still has to pay for the overall thing. But at the end of the year, you just send it back if you're done with it. Versus the other systems, one person owns the equipment. So even if the plan ended and you went to another team, you could take the camera and then you could start a new plan with a new team. So that's just one thing to think about as you're, because that also makes, like I said, it also makes it easier to sell it. When at the end of the year, if this isn't going to work out, then you own it, so you can sell it.
Now, do all the systems allow you to, that are the all-in-one total systems, do they allow you to download the film to a hard drive or out of the cloud, or everything stays in the cloud? Because a lot of these subscription plans, they'll only keep them for 6 months or 3 months or whatever the time frame be, or the year of this, or the subscription, or is it permanently in the cloud and you can only take clips of it?
Mm. Some systems try and keep you more in their ecosystem than others, and some of them make it easier to download than others. And then that's changed over time, I think, because the hosting fee is cost to these companies. And then they've started to realize that, I think. And so that's why they've started like being a little bit more, it used to be like it was unlimited everything. And now they're starting to keep track more of how many games you have and how long you host them for, that kind of stuff. But yeah, there's definitely a difference. I know that was one of the things that came out with, I think, because Trace changed their model a little bit, because it didn't used to have the player focus, and it used to be that it was easier to download your whole game, but now they've changed their model some. So now you can really download just clip. And I think you can download parts of the game. Like now it splits into halves, and I think you can go request a download and get that one. But it's not as simple as it used to be. And there's also different levels. A lot of them have different levels in terms of there's like a starter or a team or a club or whatever. On the VO side, on the Trace side, I think there's like the basic one, and then there's like a pro one, and then I think there's a third one. There's different levels. Depending on which level you have, it gives you different levels of access. So if you have the base one, then maybe you just get the clips. But if you get the, if you go up a level, then you can download the halves. So the thing is that changed over time. So I hate to say like prices or plan specifics, because they definitely over time have changed. And so that, I guess that's one thing. Like, for example, like last weekend, I was talking to a guy that we had the huddle, we had the VO, and then right behind us was the huddle. So I was chatting with him about how he liked it and how it worked and everything. And one of the things that he mentioned was that when their club signed up, with the program, what they realized was that by default, the players were able to access, this is what he had relayed to me. So I haven't experienced it myself, but by default, they were able to access the clips. But if they wanted to download more, there was going to be like an additional kind of charge or fee or something. And so they negotiated that with a club, like front, hey, we're going to have this many cameras and we want our players to have access to all their footage. There's no extra charge or something. So that's just something to think about, like when you're researching them, because it will change over time. Is when you sign up for a plan, does it get you the whole game or do you just get clip? And for some people it doesn't matter, like they don't want the whole game, but for some people it really makes a big difference. They want the whole game because some people will actually record it with one system and then they'll download it and then they'll want to put it like somewhere else. They'll want to put it into like Huddle Assist, or they'll want to put it in Google Drive, or they'll want to send it to one of these advisors who help you like process things for college or for recruiting. And yeah, there's definitely a difference in terms of the plan levels and whether you get clips or, and then some of them make it easier to make your own kind of profile in their system. You can take your clips and make a profile page and everything like that, which is nice in a way because it's less work for me. It's all in one place. But the other side of it is that then you're on their platform. So if you wanted to use it somewhere else, it's a little bit harder. And so, again, that goes back to the individual person and how they're going to use it. So just when you're signing up for the plan, just read the details about do I get clips? Do I get games? Right. What's included? Yeah.
That's awesome. This, we could probably talk for days on this topic because there's so much out there and so many questions that we didn't get to or hit and topics. We might have to retouch on this in the future. I have my favorite question I ask everyone. And before I get to that, I just realized I didn't ask you this. Where can we find all your information at and your contact points? So where would that be at?
Yeah, our company is called Easy Sports Video. So if you go to easysportsvideo.com, we actually have a start page. So easysportvideo.com/start. It has a bunch of stuff on there. Like it has, you can see how to resell your camera. Or we have a whole bunch of like accessories. If you want to, what kind of accessories should I get? Or we have stuff about rentals. Or we also have a link there to our YouTube channel, which is just Easy Sports Video. So we put a lot of stuff out on there in terms of just different camera systems and things like tips and tricks and such. And so that's where you can find us. The YouTube channel is pretty useful because like it helps since it's all about video. We try and share, and I need to do a better job of that. It's just, I haven't done a great job of doing. One of the things that we started doing was like comparing the different systems, and people have been asking like, where's the next in the series? So I'm overdue on that to help people get an idea of compare and contrast. But the YouTube channel is good, and our website is easysportsvideo.com. Awesome. Or they can just email me too, ben@easysportsvideo.com.
Perfect. Now my next question is, and this is my favorite question to ask everyone, who has been your greatest influence throughout your journey of soccer then? Because you did play, now you're being an entrepreneur inside of the world of soccer, and I think that it's a two-part question there. So you have your influence as a player and then your influence in the sports world with what you're doing today in the game.
My answer might be a little bit strange. I grew up as an Army brat, and so we moved around a lot. So I played on a lot of different soccer fields, and then we went and we were overseas, and so I lived overseas, so I got to experience the soccer culture in Germany. The person that's responsible for that is actually my dad, because he was the one that drug us all around. And that really did influence my like soccer life in terms of I played with a lot of different kinds of kids. Like when you grow up in the Army, like when you go to Department of Defense school, it's cool because you meet people from all over, and you play with kids from all over. And then since we were overseas, I even got to play on German soccer teams and meet people. And so that has really influenced me in terms of just, it's really cool when it's like, what is it, Johnny Rojas, like football is life from Ted Lasso.
Yes.
Like you don't have to speak the same language. You just show up and you play the game. And so I think just that experience has shaped my view of the sport and like how transformative it can be for not just for like players, but even for just like teams and cities. Just it helps bring like different kinds of people together from different backgrounds. And so I guess I have my dad and the U.S. Army to thank for that background. And in terms of the kind of the current technology part of it, that's a good question. I don't know if I have a good answer actually for who's influenced me. I don't know if I have a good answer for that.
You can cut it there if you want. I just asked this because it's we always have influences. It could be your wife, it could be your kids, it could be a colleague, it could be anyone. It's amazing some of the answers that you hear, and I think people don't realize who's behind the scenes of some of these yourself in this case.
Okay, I guess I do have an answer for it then, actually.
Okay, I'll start here then, and I'll edit out our little chat there.
All right. Okay. So I guess for the business side of it, I guess the probably the biggest kind of influencers have really been my kids, because they're the ones. The reason I started this is because I was already at the field all the time and I was already recording. So I was like, if I'm going to be doing this, I might as well help other people out. And they've given me a lot of material to work with, right? Like I've recorded a lot of their games, and they've been pretty good sports in terms of being guinea pigs. Like after every game, they got a way for me to take the stuff down and put it away. And they have to put up with me putting up like four different kinds of cameras on the sideline. And, oh, dad, what are you doing now? And so they've been really like supportive in terms of putting up with all my cameras. And also just they've like, we'll try stuff out and we'll pull up videos and we'll look at stuff and we'll go through examples and I'll ask their opinion. So they've been really, it's been fun to go through it with them, and they've put up with me.
Hey, everyone. If you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.
Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week is part two with Ben Edwards. And I'm not going to say too much, so let's start this chat and head to the pitch. Hey everyone, I hope you enjoyed this part two with Ben. I don't know if you guys appreciate the struggle he went through of learning all this, everything that's happened to him to be where he's today with getting his car broken into, to that redirected him to be in the next phase of what he was doing and going through the learning curve in the process of it all. I honestly have a lot of appreciation for his hard work and everything he did to get to the point he is today with his business, with the knowledge he carries for cameras and systems. And I hope you all will take time to go to his YouTube channel, his website. I'll have everything listed below in the show notes. I'll have his website there and you guys can find everything else from there. Any questions, please reach out to him. He's a plethora of knowledge and information, and you guys can go to his site and learn so much. I have, as a parent that knows nothing about these systems, and he was my go-to person. He directed me to his website, and this is where I spent hours, if not days, reading and trying to understand everything he publishes.